Longtime East Lansing guitarist and band leader Ray Camilleri has been performing live in Studio S here during our program here today. Let's listen to Ray again. This is called Meet Me Where They Play the Blues.
Thanks, Mark. I got a heart that's broken-hearted. How can I mend it? I got a crying jag here started. How can I end it? But if you're feeling gloomy, come running to me. Meet me where they play the blues. People have said they've seen you dance and had away places. People have said you find romance in other embraces. But if your mood is dreamy and you care to see me, meet me where they play the blues. Eyes that flirt with a tear are common around here. And misery loves company, they say. So we linger till dawn while the trumpet wails on, hoping you'll happen this way. I'm getting tired of sipping wine and watching it bubble. How did our dreams get out of line and wind up in trouble? But honey, if you're learning, there's a flame still burning. Meet me where they play. Find me where they play. Meet me where they play the blues.
Guitarist Ray Camilleri here live from Studio S on WKAR's Current State Vintage Music with Style. Haven't seen you in a while. It's great to see you again here this morning.
It's nice to be here, Mark. Thanks for having me.
Sure. A lot of people have seen you with the Red Hot Peppers and other ensembles. You've played in a jazz quintet, a jazz sextet. Are all of those groups active these days?
Yeah, we did play a couple concerts, well, more than that, in this past year. And we're in the process of booking more stuff, mostly in the summertime. But yes, and Walter White is back in the state, great trumpeter, so I'll work with him whenever I can.
Tell us, tell our listeners a little more about Walter White.
Oh, well,
he's one of the White Brothers.
Yeah,
right?
You remember White Brothers String Shop and
sure.
The Tuba Museum, the Travelers Club?
Will has been on the program here during his run for Congress here last
November.
Yeah,
William White, the libertarian raconteur and eclectic man of the world, that's for sure. He's an old buddy, an old poker playing buddy, and it's really through him that I met his brother, Walter. Walter, a stunning talent on the trumpet. He was Harry Connick's lead trumpeter when Harry Connick had an orchestra. He was the lead trumpeter with Maynard Ferguson, with Wynton Marsalis, all kinds of people. All these guys play the trumpet, too. And so, like I said, I'll play with him whenever I can.
And he's back in Detroit from New York, is
right.
that correct?
Yes, that's right. So
okay.
It's easy enough to book him, and like I said, I'll do it whenever.
Do you only like vintage music? I mean, do you like anything recorded? Is there a year after which you just don't care for music anymore?
No, I love Stevie Wonder. I mean, he's still producing lots of great stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But on the other hand, I must say, as an artist, I've discovered more things that have surprised me with creativity in old music, simply because we're not really exposed to many of the old traditions. You know, like in ragtime, and there's some great, great ragtime music around, there were 3,000 published rags around the turn of the century, the beginning of the 20th century. Only 200 have been republished. So there's, and the only place you can find them is in the dusty bins of antique stores, the old sheet music. The stuff wasn't even recorded because there was virtually no recording back then either. That's just one example. But people like Orlando Lassus, Palestrina, William Byrd have just volumes and volumes of music that is exquisite. And even if it's 500 years old, it's new if you've never heard it before.
Yeah.
And that's true all over the world, in fact.
You like to swing, though.
Yeah, oh, I love swing music. You know, and I think that for me, I was early on a revivalist. I loved British music. I used to get printouts from the British Museum on a regular basis. And I still play much Celtic music and English music and that kind of thing. But I must admit, after traveling through Britain and playing the Edinburgh Festival and that, I realized that tradition is their tradition. You know, the revivalists there, it's their responsibility. But here, I asked myself, is there a music here that's my responsibility as a revivalist? And I realized it was the music of my father. You know, that there is...
Swing
music.
Okay.
Yeah. And especially what I call early mainstream, which is the small group music from the 1930s and the 1920s.
Give us some names.
Oh, well, Mildred Bailey, Jack Teagarden, Louis Armstrong, Billie Holiday.
Okay.
These were not the huge sensational orchestras. These were small groups, people like Chu Berry and Dick McDonough. These are great artists that many, many people have never heard of. And they recorded reams of stuff. Lots of great creativity there. And so for me, it was always kind of trying to emulate that. And then, of course, the discovery of Django Reinhardt, which is holy mackerel. What a monster. And, and Django's right in that bag. I mean, half the music he recorded was the old American early mainstream.
There were guitar orchestras, though. Actually came became a fad in I want to say the 20s, that, 20s or 30s.
Yeah,
I mean, dozens of guys.
Mandolin orchestras.
Dozens of guys playing guitars at the
but
same time.
But, Mark, that goes right back to ancient times. They would have families of instruments just like they'd have families of singers. You know, I mean, literally, the family all formed a chorus. And it was because the temperaments all matched each other. So you'd have... like I said, mandolin orchestras, balalaika orchestras, that sort of thing. And and they were just continuing what was a long, long tradition. But with the advent of the microphone and mixing boards and stuff, the temperament of the instrument could be adapted a lot more than in the old days when there was no sound systems to change the effects. And consequently, they didn't need to group instruments by family anymore.
Longtime East Lansing guitarist Ray Camillay, our special guest here today on WKAR's Current State and our Live Music Friday. How often do you perform?
Well, you know, it's feast or famine, right? I mean, this month I have one job. Next month I have 16. And it's driving me crazy.
Oh.
But that's just how it is.
Yeah. We'll point out that Ray performs next here in Michigan anyway. Thursday, February 5th in Spring Lake, and Friday, February 6th at the Book Nook in Montague. So if you're headed, if you're going to be over near Southern Lake, Michigan, or thereabouts, Spring Lake, Montague, thereabouts, Ray will be performing there the 5th and the 6th. What brought you to East Lansing in the first place?
Tons of music. I graduated from college in Detroit, and there was some music to be played there, but within 2 months, there were so many places here. I was working 7 days a week within a couple of months of coming to East Lansing, and I just kept playing. Then I formed a band with Joel Mabus, formed my own jazz band, and those bands all kept playing. Then many years ago, 1991, I stopped playing clubs and started playing more concerts and music festivals and that kind of thing. And now I lecture, too. So,
What do you lecture about?
The lecture is called World Slavery, the Haitian Revolution and the Rise of American Music. It is a kind of survey of the international history of slavery, how it changed in the United States, and how both black and white music formed around it.
Mm. How interesting. You've been pretty involved in the community as well, serving on the East Lansing Food Co-op Board. You were there at the formation of the East Lansing Montessori School.
Oh, yeah, right. Well, that's my wife. She's the real founder of that school, Lorraine Friedel.
But you're a community guy. I mean, you're really invested in... in localism, I guess, is the
yeah,
word.
Yeah, I believe that, you know, but I mean, I love running into guys like Andy Shore because, you know, he's like in it up to his teeth, you know. Yeah, he can't ignore anybody that's local. But yes, indeed, that's where I think, just for my own values, that's where some of the most important aspects of life are spent.
Local, decentralized yeah. kind of approach to life. Now, how did that interest take shape?
Wow. Now, that nobody's asked me that question before.
That's my job, Ray.
I guess I grew up in Detroit metropolitan area, and even the local decisions were made miles and miles away. You could basically be a kind of mindless consumer and go about your everyday life, but when it came to helping make decisions that determine your life, there wasn't a whole lot of that in it. And I could see with small groups like the Unitarian Church or the Food Co-op that they actually are run democratically and they depend on the resources of the people that are in the organization, resources financially, but also intellectually too. Mm-hmm. And I think that it answers a need that I have.
You were telling a great story on yourself. We got about a minute and a half. Hopefully there's enough time to tell this. You were telling a great story on yourself before the program today. In the time that we have left, could you share that with our listeners?
I'll try to make it short. A friend was getting married. She was very informal about it, no written anything. And she needed somebody to play at the wedding and a band to play at the reception. And so I agreed, and she told me when to be at the church. And so because I had nothing written down, I scrawled on my calendar. It was 3:00, get there at 2:30. And then when I looked at the calendar, I saw 2:30. I said, oh gosh, I better get there about 2. So I went in 10 minutes after 2, I figured I was late. I better just start playing. And I started to play on the altar, and so a lot of people were coming in, and suddenly I realized there wasn't anybody there that I knew and that I probably should check, right? As I stopped playing, a string quartet chimed in from the back of the balcony, which I could not see. And then I realized something was up. So I went and checked and asked the priest, and he said, oh, no, that's not this one. So then the question was, where's the wedding I'm supposed to be playing at? This was the church. And it turns out there's a chapel around the corner at the same church. And so I went and hid rather timidly until all the people from the previous wedding had left, and then I played, and it all worked.
Quickly tell us how many CDs you've recorded. I said around 6.
Six or seven,
I'm
something
right,
like that.
Correct?
Yeah.
And people can learn more about that at raycamelay.com.
Yeah.
Very good.
Right.
Well, vintage music with style, jazz, blues, folk, and swing. It's been great to have Ray Camelay on the program here today.
My pleasure, Mark.
Ray, we're going to have you play us out here in just a minute after I tell our listeners that Monday on Current State, America honors the life and legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King. We'll talk with one of the original Freedom Riders who defied Jim Crow and rode a bus into segregated cities across the South. Also, our Voices of Experience series continues with a chat with Max Krinen. Professor Max is ending a 57-year career here at Michigan State University this week. That and more Monday on Current State. I'm Mark Bayshore. We're glad you could join us today. Ray Camelay plays us out. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Mark. Thank you.